All aboard, next stop, adventure. This is Excelsior. She would have never gotten a job in radio if this was 1947. If this was 1947, she would have been a terrible secretary. It's Brittany.
Tech-savvy way.
Oh, love it. Yeah.
All right,
so.
Let's see, my backpack. Are you gonna leave your backpack in here? You wanna just, here, let me just throw a dog blanket over it so it just looks like garbage. I keep my car dirty so it doesn't look interesting to break into. Okay. Cool. Okay.
I get on my bicycle today, okay? My bicycle, and then on the seat, there's all this, like, dried up rain. Last night it had some rain.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So that rain comes down, and all this, like, dirt filters out from when the rain dries up.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of a problem.
Okay.
Now, all over, this is the exact same thing, and it's just, like, soot.
Yeah.
This is residue from geoengineering. From airplanes dropping off stuff in the skies. And you got all these, like, normies who will run around their philosophy degrees in freaking college going around being like, that's not real. Those are contrails. They're totally natural formations. This is what's in our rainwater because our government likes to dump, you know, dog shit in the sky.
Yeah.
Basically, they put aluminum oxide. And these things are testable, of course, because it's like, it's the thing where it's like, a lot of what I seek to do in my work, especially my films or my, like, you know, even my music video aesthetic, you know, from the artist perspective, is to take the concerns of people who are, you know, let's say there are scientists and doctors who want to actually speak to the public, but they don't exactly know how to access their voice to the public through the, you know, common nexus of modern censorship.
Yeah.
What's going on is we're all talking about this stuff, being like, hey, this is the poisoning.
Yeah.
That's a simple thing. So yeah. I think that's a pretty solid thing is, like, you know, true healing of the body is just a removal of poisons. It's a removal of the cause of the problem. Like, when, you know, these are things that people can test for themselves and they don't actually need to, you know, have someone with an 8-year-long degree to understand. It's you got sick? It's because you're poisoned. That's
right.
Not good.
Oh, yeah. It's busy. Dang.
Oh, we got a couple seats down here.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Oh, cool.
I'll let you.
All right. So, oh, weird. What? It's like.
It's the best place. Have you ever been here?
Oh, yeah. I come here all the time. I love it.
Our kitchen.
Yes.
The best place.
It is the best place.
It is the number one place.
It is.
So. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. It's just, you can leave it right here.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it will?
If it's in one spot, it'll work out great.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, here, maybe. Right here?
Yeah,
because
the sound hits the table.
Oh, okay, cool. Glad you're here.
Well, knowing about sound is kind of how I figured a lot of this stuff out when it comes to, like, our environment and our terrain. Because we're all electric beings.
Yeah.
So, like, these are fields that we can deduce, like, you know, using, you know, you can use all sorts of equipment and stuff to figure this stuff out, but really what you're looking at is, like, okay, these are, like, ethereal elements. These are things that are outside of our bandwidth of just our five senses. Arguably the sixth sense would be our intuition or our subconscious mind, which would be used to deduce what's going on beyond the perception of the five senses. So in case, what I'm trying to do is, I, like many people like me who have met through all the world, you know, I'll say they're, you know, I want to actually kind of be like I'm a philosopher, but I'm also like, okay, let's just see what the rednecks have to say.
Yeah.
Like, I'm rooting for the rednecks in this sense because, it turns out that the good old boys who can use just applied science and, you know, increasing consumer optics, things like that, it turns out that they're, like, the people with lab coats and stuff who make a lot of money doing I don't call it science, but I would say the science, as they say, like, trust the science or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it turns out people who are just, like, speaking gut feeling and using testable, observable, and repeatable things, which is actually science, are probably the scientism types. It's probably their worst nightmare. And so I'm just, like, from the start of this, for many years, I've been a lyricist and a musician, and I've always just really, like, I grew up as, like, a southern dude, you know, down south, just, like...
Yeah.
Grew up skateboarding and shooting off fireworks and having fun with my my buddies.
Yeah.
Like, none of us had, like, a pretension of some sort of, you know, punk rock ideology.
Right.
Because I think ideology is the cause of all these problems. But, in any case, go and... If you're just trying to do applied things, like, for example, there's this really interesting guy. Everyone should look into him. His name's Terry Eicher. E-I-C-H-E-R. Okay.
Hi, sweetie. I'll be right
back. Oh, take your time. Thank you. This guy, I watched this dude do these scientific experiments, but these experiments are like, it probably costs him less than like $9 to do them, and he gets heavily censored because he's trying to show regular people how they can test these things for themselves and use their own observation to make sense out of things that are going on in the sky or things that are going on in our terrain. But he talks like this, and he's like, "Hey y'all, welcome," and he just like kind of, and he has these like big muscles, and it's just like always it's the most exciting thing seeing that dude with his, like, he's smiling at the camera knowing he's pissing off the government and all those things. And, you know, that brings the question, well, what is our government?
Right.
Well, I could easily reduce it to say, oh, it's nothing more than a stack of papers, but even that might be important because a stack of papers is like how we make agreements.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we have a court of law.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, I mean, there's got to be something where if I'm going to make an agreement with somebody and do a very high risk thing, you want signatures and stuff to bind that.
Yeah.
So, you know, give the devil its due, fine. But then when we really start looking at what the American government is and what we were taught in school, pledge allegiance and all that stuff, it's weird if you don't stand up. Well, I mean, I'm going to say something so profound to say that we still live in the Roman Empire. Like, and that's like, I remember in 2015, I read the book Valis by Philip K. Dick. I thought that the whole thing, like, I didn't take him seriously on it. I was like, he just said, you know, I mean, you know, I won't spoil the book because it's a great book, but, you know, essentially he postulates that the empire never fell. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. All right, cool. Well, back to rock and roll. And then I started noticing, and I was like, okay, so in every courtroom, you have this symbol called the fasces. Fasces is like a bundle of sticks tied together with an axe together. It means many working together to execute one action. That's the symbolic root of what fascism is. That's what the fasces is. Fascism is the belief in fasces as a solid unit of government, which is or a society. This is how our, and of course this is stemmed out of Italy. These things keep going, and it's like the Greco-Roman roots go trace all the way back to Babylon and stuff. That's why all of our, you know, space agencies, they use like Greek gods for everything. The Apollo missions. Oh, Rachel Maddow's on TV talking about how this thing hit this asteroid called Didymos. Yeah, these are all of the same, like, and it is, just, you know, it is essentially doing these, it is essentially like the whole thing with the Roman Empire, and like we're taught that it fell and how it fell.
Yeah.
It's like they wouldn't tell you if you were still in it.
Right.
And they won't tell you that your vote counts. They would tell you that, you know, oh, free and fair elections, you know, vote for this guy. They'll tell you all these things, but it's like when you start.
Your vote really doesn't matter.
Still do it. I'll even say, in the sense of individual consequence, I try to set my ideals aside, because, I mean, I think there are some people out there just like us who, I mean, this is ironic, this is gonna, I don't think that our politicians today know this. I think it's the people who are controlling everything, and, like,
right.
You know, kind of like
politicians,
the puppets in a way. But,
yeah.
I think there's still some of these people, at least on the economic level, trying to reduce damage. So if there is some sort of semblance of voting, if it is to matter anywhere, it might be local elections.
Yeah.
But even then, it's still in. Trusting a collective organization over the sovereign individual, which I think is the core problem.
Yeah.
All big organizations lead to a form of.
Sweetie, you want a coffee? No, thank you.
Yeah.
Are you ready to get better?
You knew I wanted. I'm gonna have the kitchen special.
How do you like your eggs?
It's sunny side.
Toast, pancake.
I'm gonna do French toast.
Cinnamon.
What's that?
Cinnamon.
Yeah. And I'll throw jalapenos and onions in the hash. Thank you.
And can you switch your favorites with over easy eggs, a side of bacon, and this toast? Sweet white rice, or rye paste. Sounds good, thank you.
So, yeah, I mean, this is, we're just going straight into the rabbit hole. I did warn you.
I love it.
I definitely think that there's an issue with what's like, okay, the Roman Empire never fell. It's like, the symbolism is everywhere. Like, on the back of our dollar bill. I don't know if I have a dollar. Do you have a dollar bill on you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
That's from Rome. This eagle on the back.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's a Roman Empire thing. I mean, and then here's the little bundle of arrows there. I mean, there's so much symbolism in here. Like, they put it in plain sight, and that's what it means. It's like, that's what a cult means, is it's like a hidden truth. It's hidden in plain sight, though.
Yeah.
So, like, people don't think to see it. It's like, obviously, when I got a dollar as a kid, it was really exciting.
Yeah.
So.
It's just normal for us.
Sure.
To see it.
And I guess that's the important thing to understand, is that we're basically being, played around with by various secret societies who lace the cabinets of all of our, elected officials. Like, everything. You know, everything that you would see about in perhaps any given conspiracy documentary, such as the Bilderberg Group or the CFR, have you, I would say the Skull and Bones is a huge concern. But then you see these absolutely meaningless corporations and, like, the, I guess you could say, the alphabet soup agencies. And that's what makes up almost everyone's appeal to authority regarding everything that's gone on in the past 2.5 years.
Yeah.
But the CDC says, it's like, CDC says what?
Yeah, what does that even mean?
Like,
yeah.
Did they tell you to touch your nose? Like,
right.
What the heck, y'all?
Yeah.
And then there's a level deeper in which the whole thing is a beautiful chess match. So, like, I postulate in much of my philosophical works, some that is not yet released, I postulate trying to dish out to the individual that you can become a major player in this game, against the establishment that's essentially trying to enslave everyone.
Yeah.
It's not hard for us to look at, like, a good-willed person and just simply see, hey, you're not for enslaving other people, are you? Okay. But, like, when it comes to these secret societies and these, totalitarian cults, they are. And it's not like, oh, I guess you have, like, elements of chess in the whole thing, where it's like, if you can think ahead of a few moves, you can see that the game of chess is still kind of fair, because there's, the mathematics of people it's just a matter of people becoming aware of what's going on, and then removing the cause of the problem by, you know, simply failing to participate in those dialectics. And the dialectics are just like these comfort zones of an Overton window that will keep you constrained within the left and right hand, light and dark. And so, you know, there's this philosopher today, her name's Alexandra. I don't know her last name, but she does this, she's a writer on Substack, and she does all these video essays, kind of like how I do. Her channel's called Probably Alexandra. Now, I'm pretty deep down the rabbit hole and stuff, but, like, I think I couldn't believe, like, I was like, this girl's, like, ahead of me in a lot of ways. Like, she's very entrenched in this knowledge. But she's really genuinely trying to help people, you know, because it is an issue of, like, this is a dark path. And I think what she says is kind of interesting. She's even saying something like, hey, the real solution is to not play this game at all. And in the sense of Russian roulette, I would agree. In the sense of chess, I say, like, well, you know, yeah, I she's probably right. But I can't help but think, like, what? But I can't just sit still and pick my nose, go sip margaritas on a beach or something, and just live a good life. Like, I think she's right in many ways, but I personally say that living a good life of a simple man is arguably insufficient. It's just being good is what created this massive problem. They took advantage of everyone's empathy. And they took advantage of people's empathy, and they labeled it contagion. They're saying, they're trying to tell people that you can spread a disease from one person to the other. And if they could prove that with a smoking pistol, that would make the headline news every day to put my arguments to bed. The arguments of terrain theory. Instead, they're censoring our side. Well,
and you haven't even gotten into terrain theory.
No, but
I feel like
I could absolutely, I could break that down in about a paragraph or so, I think. It's Louis Pasteur founded germ theory. I actually wrote this out.
Very interesting.
Saved this today. So let me just put it. Let me be quicker. Put it in writing for you earlier. Louis Pasteur's germ theory of disease remains the basis of Western medicine, considering that disease is caused by specific microorganisms that invade the body from outside. It's like the fear of an external enemy, a magic mind. And then what I'll explain to you is how they presuppose this and how they prove this. And I'll give you some fun analogies, because what I am is I'm like a good old boy redneck from North Carolina who can be like, yeah, let me make this make sense without it sounding like a bunch of jumbled up peer-reviewed science papers.
Yeah.
Like, that shit is boring as shit.
Yeah.
And it's like,
a lot of words.
It's like if I sit here and you and I are sitting here and I'm like, we're not playing Grand Theft Auto 4, and I'm sitting here reading off to you what the cheat codes are with my voice, and you're trying to memorize it.
Yeah.
That's essentially the distance of, like, okay, these lab coat people are making money. And who's in charge of them? That's fine. Okay. Who's in charge of them? Okay. Who's at the top of science? Well, you're going to find out that it's us. Like, it's us. It's up to us and our subconscious minds to decipher whether something is true or not. And so if I'm sitting here reading off, so I'm gonna mask it so that you don't become an authority that can take me and my job in virology away. Okay, so that's what they're masking. That's what they're hiding. So they're going to confuse people by giving them a bunch of Grand Theft Auto cheat codes, a.k.a. like, Vero CL081. You know what that means? No one does, but I'll tell you what it means. It means monkey kidney cells. Yeah, we'll get into that. But next, let's focus on the solution as a start. So,
okay, we are still going. Okay.
Is that working? Yeah?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Keep going. Yep.
Awesome. All right, so Louis Pasteur's germ theory of disease remains the basis of Western medicine. That's a very important part, is that all of our Western medicine today is based in Louis Pasteur's germ theory. It's doubled down on germ theory. Now, it says, considering that disease is caused by specific microorganisms that invade the body from outside. Next, it says, now, on the other end, what I think is the true end, Antoine Bouchamp believed that illness stems from an unhealthy system that triggered changes in minute particles of the body that lead to disease. So the issue is internal. Just like if you and I go get too drunk, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's say I drink too many beers.
Yeah.
And then I puke.
Yeah.
Is the puking the disease, the cause of the problem?
No.
No, it's your body getting rid of the problem.
Yeah.
Which is the alcohol that you took in.
Yes.
We were partying, right?
Yeah.
And so you took in too much alcohol, your body's getting rid of the alcohol.
Yeah.
Germ theory inverts that and presupposes that the symptoms are a sign that you are that you have the disease, that you caught it.
Yeah.
But it's like, really, it's, you know, they don't want people to abdicate responsibility for their own bodies.
Yeah.
They want to pit it to the collective. Because if you can pit it to the collective, you can have everybody stand in uniform along that Roman symbol of the fasces to execute and create a real, actual totalitarian government. One that does have severe consequences for talking the way I do. In any case, Western medicine has fully embraced germ theory and its dependence on drugs to treat symptoms, effectively minimizing the importance of nutritious food, fresh air, hygiene, and sanitation. Like, just use your common sense. You know,
right.
Like, they don't want people figuring out that you can take care of yourself.
Right.
They don't want people sustaining, they don't want people growing their own food.
No.
Like, people who are sustaining, growing their own food, working on farms, whatever. Or having a small business.
Right.
Because that's really who's facing the huge end of the brunt of this germ theory stuff. And so I'm trying to help people and even people who own restaurants.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what you did in 2020, let's move on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what mistakes someone made.
Yeah.
When it came to, like, it was very frustrating. Because I was refusing to wear a mask, and I'm like, I can go to one taco shop, and I can go to Tao Natural Foods.
Yeah.
Tao Natural Foods, they stayed open the whole time.
They did.
No mask, no social distancing, no nothing.
Interesting.
100%. Because the whole thing was a bluff. The whole thing.
The
whole thing. Everybody and all their compliance was based in pure ego and surveillance.
Yeah.
And this is like... The philosopher, the postmodern philosopher, Michel Foucault, he illustrates this perfectly in Discipline and Punish and books like The Government Itself and others. It is that you use a panopticon in the middle of a prison system. And what does it do? It makes everybody have a fear of being watched. And then same thing happens. What they did, they translated the prison system. And what Foucault was actually interested in was not in the architecture design of the prison system. He was interested in the ideas and the motivations of why someone would do this. I think he came to some of the many same conclusions I came to, and I write about him quite a bit because when I first encountered his philosophy, I didn't like him.
Yeah.
Because I thought that there was a reason you're not supposed to like him or something, and you know, he's one of the you know, as somebody, some populist today, like Jordan Peterson would say, is a bloody Marxist, para-Marxist or something. And really, he was just talking about terrain theory in his book, Madness and Civilization. It turns out I read that book and it was like, it tied for the best book I've ever read, next to The Count of Monte Cristo. But Madness and Civilization by Foucault, it's just a masterpiece. And I think a lot of the criticism that his philosophy gets is partially from the fact that his critics are still alive and he's not.
Yeah.
And the other is that, you know, there's a conservative backlash because there's still an attachment to some of the materialist power structures that I think I don't blame them for it, because when I first came across this dude's writings, I was like, why are you diving into these topics?
Yeah.
He wanted to know the truth of things. Like, when there's like a psychopathic tendencies coming from the stem of some individual, you know, he wanted to actually dive into the mind, kind of like Carl Jung would, to understand what's going on. But yeah, he deals heavily in the psychoanalytical realm, as does like Jacques Lacan and stuff like that. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, I ignored his work for a long time, and I didn't figure out. I knew that this issue that we're in today, and that we've been in our whole lives, by the way, like, you know, this has been an issue that's been going, like, this thing we're going through today,
yeah,
it's been in motion for centuries.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's you could relate current events to things that trace back to like 1540,
right?
The Copernican Revolution, of course. But you know, to keep it like on the topic, terrain theory is essentially abdicating responsibility from the individual towards their surrounding terrain. So, like, a good example of this is, like, you know, this, how I got into this is that I'm an artist and I was a musician, and none of the other artists and musicians were really willing to deal with this. Like, I was in hardcore music, right? Yeah. And I was in all these bands, everybody knows me from that.
Yeah.
But in 2020, your career is over.
Right.
And your career's over?
Because the CDC guidelines
say so. I'm like,
that's
yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Kiss
it's
my
ass. So ridiculous.
It's like, kiss my ass.
Yeah.
Like, no way. I'm going to
and it's,
end
it,
this.
It's so interesting to see how many people that you think are such badasses that are like, like the government and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden CDC yeah. comes out and everyone's like,
everyone is like,
changed. And I'm like, wait, what happened to the like, against authority and like
well,
all
think,
this
I think,
stuff.
I think,
like,
I think it's part of a great inversion that was caused. I mean, I will agree that some of the brain worms are caused by the, you know, it's so funny. He's a wild card, and I won't talk about him very much. But Trump,
oh yeah,
definitely like created the opposite reaction type thing. I mean, he's a pendulum player. And I gotta say, it's like, I can't say it's not brilliant. It
yeah.
is, but he's part of the plan. I mean, he's
oh, yeah.
the tool of the thing. But I mean, I don't want to like, you know, I don't want to wish ill on anyone. You
yeah.
know? And if anything, like in 2020, when I was receiving a ton of backlash for, I said something online, and of course people were like, you have a platform for being a musician, whatever. And I just posted online, and I was like thinking, huh, like, let's just deal with this now, because I was, you know, it was, you know, whether you're dating somebody or whether whatever, all these things threw a wrench in the gears.
Oh yeah.
And I simply went online and I stated, COVID-19 is the new tooth fairy. And of course people were like, he's gonna go out and get everybody killed. I was like, whoa, like, we're in the primitive. Like, this is good. And so, like, that little thing, I remember it got, like, 400 or 500 comments or something. I'll say 4 just to be safe, of just people screaming at each other
oh,
from
yeah.
their keyboards and
well,
staying
like,
home, of
they
course.
They just divided people. Like, why do people... The thing is, it's like, why do people go against each other when, like, we are the only thing, like, if we stick together, that, like,
right.
can make a change?
Yeah, yeah.
And instead, we're, like, blaming other people yeah. when it's so ridiculous.
And
why?
Contagion is the perfect tool for that.
Oh, my God.
And what
they want us to do is hate each other.
That's right. And in 2020, what I found right away, I didn't find terrain theory right away. I found an interview of one of the people who talks about terrain theory quite a lot, Dr. Andrew Kaufman. Excellent dude. Really, really cool dude. But I found an interview with him like really early on, and I said, all right, well, I'll consider that. That's interesting. He was saying, there is no virus. And I was like, now, big if true, but like, we need to make sure that, you know, okay, big if true, right? But I kept listening to his arguments. I was like trying to show people, like, hey, you guys listen to this? And so I kept dreaming, like, well, I find myself in the distance between trying to see what he's saying and help people who are, you know, have this thing called TDS, which is the Trump Derangement Syndrome. It's some silly thing, but I was trying to find a way to appeal to these people's needs of, yeah, like, hey, I really want to help you guys get out of this brainworms nonsense. Like, so I essentially postulated, as like, oh, well, if I could, nobody wants to, everybody doesn't like the Nazis, okay? Well, I found, and I knew this before 2020, I've been a lyricist for years, but I was like, okay, well, I know of a book called Tuberculosis and War. Chapter 4 is called Nazi Medicine, Tuberculosis, and Genocide, and it's only 22 pages long. And I was like, well, I'll just make like a video essay that kind of surrounds that topic, and I'll kind of use like mythological metaphor or something. And, you know, originally it was like some 6-hour long video. I was like, I don't know if somebody will watch it, but if they were asking the right questions, maybe they will. And so that's kind of how I segued into this style of like philosophical filmmaking. And essentially I was just kind of like trying to play it like that, but it was, you know, there were a lot of people who were like, yeah, I think you're right, but I don't know why. I was like, well, I'm going to have to go deeper. And so my new film goes way deeper. And then I was like, okay, before I release this next film, which there's like a big, like, I want to say probably 14 months difference between this point and then the point where I released this film called Beyond Good and Evil. A lot of people don't know what they're seeing right up front, so at the beginning I have to explain, like, hey, use mythological metaphor to, like, try to help you understand these points. I'm not trying to do anything except assist people. But what I found was, okay, I had to crush all these books about terrain theory. I just sit and just read all this stuff.
Yeah.
One that was particular to note, and it offended my family when I visited them, that this book fell out of my bag or something when the kids knocked it over. And they you know, it's like they look at the cover of it and they're like, oh, just another one of your, you know, like, yeah, it's called The Contagion Myth by Thomas Cohen. And this book is a pretty easy read for an average person. I mean, I think he, just like me, is writing it with a sense of urgency. Thomas Cohen's been a huge force in this. And then I found, obviously, Virus Mania by Torsten Engelbrecht and Dr. Sam Bailey. And her husband, Mark Bailey, does a bunch of good work in this stuff. And then, you know, obviously that all traced me back. And then I went back and found, okay, in my original films where I was trying to show people that the Nazis did this same thing to their own civilians using quarantine facilities and, you know, slow inching away pogroms in the 1930s, and how they did that using medical apartheid, forced death certification. You know, like today we're using the PCR test to diagnose whether someone has what they call COVID. The PCR test was invented by a guy named Kerry Mullis. Dr. Kerry Mullis, the real brilliant dude. He has a really cool book. I haven't read that one yet. But Dr. Kerry Mullis, I've listened to countless amounts of his interviews. But what's peculiar is he invented the PCR test and has stated openly that they're not used for detecting viral particles, because he, kind of like me, does not believe that such particles or viruses exist. And that goes down to the scruples of how they claim to have isolated the virus. And so the entire foundation of exactly what we're looking at with this giant, like, scamdemic is built on the foundation and presupposition that a virus can be spread, just like Santa Claus on the news tracker on Christmas Eve. Oh, kids, go to bed, Santa Claus is coming. And it was just like that, but in March of 2020, with the color red coming to your continent tomorrow. Like, that's all they did is they...
Oh my God, I remember going to places and they just have everyone had their phones out seeing, like, where it was.
It was
insane.
I couldn't believe people were falling for this. I was like, wait, you guys actually watch the news?
I don't.
And so that was my biggest surprise when I I put it out because I had to pay for the document, quite a lot of money, to get the Nazi medicine document. And so I started giving it out for free. Like, you know, anybody wants a PDF. I had like one or two people hit me up. Yeah, I'll take a look. But like, then I realized, I was like, people aren't reading books. Like, we ran into the problem of, like, authenticity is in question now. So it's like, are any of these people even reading books? So like, I like fiction, you know, myself. Alexander Dumas' The Count of Monte Cristo, best book I've ever read in my life. And in a way, that book has a lot of anachronisms and truth to it, which really, really can be applied to both history of its past and events happening today. Like,
yeah.
I would attribute that the great inversion of people's minds, which inversion is not exactly like reversal.
Yeah.
It's like a reversal and it's up and down. It's symbolized by both like the upside down cross or the chevron symbolism used by Scottish Rites. But these things, holy shit, it's the inversion that was happening under Donald Trump's presidency. People were knee-jerking against it because the news was just telling them to.
Yeah.
Even so, if he was really like a guy who's trying to fight for the people, he wouldn't double down on many of the things. And he's, you know, he's also a war hawk. You know, he's subservient to the massive oil companies.
Right.
So like, these people, even a guy like him, has all the power in the world to like tell these secret societies to fuck off. And you know what would happen to him though is the same thing that happened to John F. Kennedy.
Right.
So that's why they don't.
Right.
And that's the method of control, is they have to use materialist force to enact their spiritual trauma onto populations of people.
Yeah.
So the whole entire issue we're in is just a spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
It's just materialism versus spirituality.
Yeah.
And spirituality, it's like, well, it can't be denied. And that goes way further down. It's like, you know, at the beginning of my film, I present that, hey, there's 21 grams of weight that constitutes your soul. And this was proven in 1907 by Dr. Duncan McDougall. He did the best possible thing possible. And the thing is I wouldn't say that if his experiment wasn't testable and repeatable.
Right.
We could conduct that experiment.
Right.
We're probably not going to, because who's going to find six people who are about to die who are cool with this?
Yeah.
1907 might have been a different time. I don't know. But that's a pretty good experiment.
Yeah.
But to point out that right away, and I've noticed that the materialist types will probably cut my video off there. They'll be like, I'm done watching this.
Yeah.
And I hope they do. I hope they don't watch my film. Like, the materialist types who are and I don't mean materialists like, you know, just, you know, 19-year-olds running around a shopping mall fascinated with buying items.
There's people living in the material world.
I mean, that is materialist slavery in a way, but it's like people who have the materialist framework of
comfort. And
you have to get a 10-year degree in order to talk about certain things.
Right.
You know, where's your degree? It's like, well, I am a redneck who dropped out of school, so I pride myself in that. I'm like a proud graduate of what, Pizza University? You know, I'd like to see any of those, you know, bachelor's degrees, like, play drums as fast as me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a matter of, like, what we're supposed to be doing in this world is be creative and have fun.
Yeah.
And the only thing stopping that is the state. Mm-hmm. And the state is actually throwing wrenches in the gears.
Yeah.
To inhibit people's ability to be creative.
Yeah.
That wrench in the gears is taxation itself.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, but who's going to pave the roads? It's like, yeah, well, in the early 20th century, somebody already had levitating cars that was running on electromagnetic energy.
Yeah.
Like, we have videos of this. And, oh, you know, and then if people were to, you know, cut this off or cut off my film, it'd be like, okay, then we have a difference of expositional data.
Yeah.
And the difference of exposition is the only the only issue today. Mm-hmm. Is if people want to like stick their fingers in their ears and shut their eyes and do this la la la.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is a that is responsive ego.
It blows my mind.
Yeah.
When it's just like. I just think that like people need to open up conversation, you know, like I've had like an example is like I've had, it drives me nuts. I've had somebody like direct message me because I have like friends on Facebook that I don't really know how I know them, you know, kind of thing. And they're like, hey, just so you know, your mutual friend, this person is against abortion. You should block them. And I was
like,
wait, first of all, like I have so many things to say. And then they like get pissed that I say anything. I'm like, wait, I thought you messaged me because you want to talk about this, but you just want to like, it's just almost that kind of mindset with everybody. We're like, oh, you don't believe this? Shut the door, shut them out, get them out of here.
You know what part of that is caused by?
It's
the lack of underlining, bold, italicizing, or using font that you desire. Social media, they have this down. They knew that they could get people to divide and conquer by reducing the aesthetics of the very font you're typing on social media.
Wait.
For example, you want to provide someone context? Oh, I bet, you know, I have a context about the abortion argument. It's like, yeah, women can only get pregnant 6 days a month, and it's in accordance to the moon. The moon's not a rock. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But, like, these, like, true... I call it Zetetic astronomy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a clock. Our sky is a clock.
Yeah.
And that moon is a huge signifier, which should give people a hint. And like, if, I mean, obviously our education system is just funded by the Rockefeller oil industries, and they sure as hell would love to sell more petroleum medicine and do mind control to people using birth control and like, you know, all sorts of other things to prevent viruses.
Yeah.
Infection exists.
Yeah.
Sure. But contagion doesn't.
Yeah.
And also like the idea that when you have this, you're stuck with it for the rest of your life. It's like, that is what the Nazis were telling civilians, the undesirables, in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
They said, if you have tuberculosis, you might, you know, we would deem you life unworthy of life. Like, you know, we have to put you out of your misery and your suffering. Like, we can't have you reproducing, so you might as well get euthanized. Or you might want to be stopped from reproducing. So they would do all these eugenics programs. And they would, you know, do these things to prevent reproduction, okay, from the undesirable races. And people would, well, I don't want to birth a kid who has tuberculosis. Like, so it was empathy that drove the whole thing. And empathy is where the confusion of contagion comes along. Contagion, they say it's like a presupposition that it's from the external, meaning a virus. Okay. Contagion, what it actually is, this brilliant doctor, Amanda Vollmer, she's a naturopath. Given there's a pretty good reason why a lot of naturopaths either go missing or they get taken out.
Really?
Yeah, it's because they're telling people what the hell's going on. So there's no contagion. There's a thing that happens with empaths called sympathetic resonance. Sympathetic resonance, like I could even do this in experiment. It's like, okay, let's pull up Instagram, find out, like I follow this page just to see if this experiment would work. But there's this page called Idiots Getting Hurt. Okay. And it, to me, I don't like watching people get hurt. I don't. But I try to face it so I can understand this feeling and that I can communicate to other people. So that's important. So Idiots Getting Hurt, it's moderately funny. And it's also like, well, it looks like they survive and they're fine. Like,
okay.
I've been hurt a million times.
Yeah.
It's part of life, whatever. But it's people like face planting off bicycles or like, you know, somebody falling and then like really like... someone skateboarding and then doing a board slide on a rail, the board goes missing in between the legs.
Yeah.
You know, every single time, I'm telling you, every single time I see something like that, and it'll just pop in my feed, because, I mean, we all use these devices.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of it too, mainly for motivated by cat videos and and, you know, just videos by all these doctors and stuff. So.
Yeah.
But occasionally, thank you. Occasionally that stuff will pop up. And what I've noticed specifically is you can feel it too.
Like you can feel what's happening.
Yeah, Nikola Tesla pointed this out too. But like he pointed this out as like, you know, I see a friend hurt and it hurts
me
too.
And then you start hurting it. Yeah.
You the sympathetic resonance.
Yeah.
So like if you see someone's arm break, you feel it in your arm.
Yeah, I do.
And that's something that people actually, it's like, all right, if you can't feel that, it means you're just not an empath, probably.
Yeah.
Or that you're like...
disconnected or...
Yeah, like too wrapped up into the material reality.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm a bit of an empath myself, so
yeah.
I'm like, when I see someone fall off some or hurt, it's like, oh, man. Like, you can feel what that would feel like for you, and your body responds based on just your visual cue of that. Now, what Amanda Vollmer points out in sympathetic resonance is that there is no... She also is of the terrain theory and knows there's no such thing as a virus. And I'll get into why I know there's no such thing as a virus. And that's part of one of the spoilers of my film, but I feel like the film isn't about me. It's about way more like, hey, I really want you guys to know this really great news.
Yeah.
You know, hey... You know, the Emperor's got no clothes on, you know.
Yeah. Like, hey,
right.
Guess what?
Yeah. Guess what? The Emperor is
like,
has no clothes on.
Guess what's behind the curtain?
Toto the dog is pulling that. My documentary is, I wouldn't call it a documentary. I would just call it like an art film.
Art film?
I don't know what to call it.
Yeah.
But it does feature a lot of these people like Sam Bailey and Dr. Andrew Kaufman and people like that. But I try to make it like fun and like hilarious. You know, I use comedy or whatever. So one of the things about sympathetic resonance, so to finish that point, is that in sympathetic resonance, she's like, she can sit with a patient, because she's a doctor. I'm not a doctor. She is. Good enough. And she's saying, hey, I can sit here for 45 minutes and listen to a story or symptoms a patient is having. And it might be like, oh, my abdomen. It might be my kidney hurts. I wouldn't know if it's my kidney because I, you know, like if an average person would be like, what side is my whatever
on? Yeah, like,
oh,
I feel something. Yeah.
You know, my leg, I can't feel my leg. Like, and then she noticed that because she's like heavily an empath and she describes this perfectly well. She's saying that every time those patients leave, if I'm hearing about their problems for 45 minutes, obviously I'm there to treat them and provide my energy for them because, you know, it's how people make a living.
Yeah.
And then you see that transfer and then she starts feeling the same symptoms just for a moment, if anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And especially with someone like her who really understands the body, it's like, well, that's what's going on. And so what that is that sympathetic resonance stuff is proof that we are the creators of this realm we're in.
Yeah.
Like, we create our own realities.
Yeah.
So, what happens when the media and all these, you know, these secret society jerk-offs run around lying to people about a virus is that people will say, well, I caught it. Oh, I think it got from a bio lab in Wuhan, China. Like, they'll say all these things. And then the Overton window is to tempt people into speaking this thing as if it's real.
Yeah.
Well, I caught it from someone. You know, and then it's so on and so on.
Yeah.
And obviously, you didn't catch a magic particle virus. What they don't want you finding out is that you're creating these symptoms by inverting your own body and capitulating to fear, a fearful presupposition. And like, there's a 4.5-hour long film called Terrain.
So you're saying that people are getting it by thinking about it and creating it, possibly?
I would say that they're not getting a thing except for, like, it's caused by electricity. Inverted electricity, if you will. Like, for example, the first... Let me just be a redneck about it because you want it to be complicated and super dense...
Yeah.
Marcelina Kravat, Andrew Kaufman, And this editor, Jason, he's like a... Jason, what's his name? I don't know. He's a great editor, though. And he's the co-host of this this thing called Pro 777. Dude's cool. God, I can't remember, but he's a great editor, right? I really like his work. And he did great editing and cinematography for a film called Shoot the Moon as well, which gets back into the moon talk. But we'll stick to Terrain.
Okay.
Terrain is a film. And it says, it's like, Terrain, the question you never thought to ask. You never thought to ask, is it real or not? It's like, well, a lot of people just didn't bother to do that because they were like, well, surely it's real. Now, surely the flu is real, too.
Right.
So let me just be real simple. I'm going to be way simpler than, let's say, like, if people want it to be way more dense and I have a more philosophical, deep understanding, it's like, well, I have a 3-hour film called Beyond Good and Evil on my Substack, Proxy Earth Substack. Okay. And there's also a 4.5-hour film called Terrain, which unpacks it. And then, total transparency, they do a full, like, I attended these Q&As. I sent in some of the questions, whatever. But they have Q&A sessions that they did for the premieres of it. Dude, every frequently asked question just gets dealt with, and they just crush it. And then, so everything they need to know, it's all wide open.
Yeah.
So germ theory is hiding things. So let me just back this up to the year 1882. Where was the flu before 1882?
Non-existent.
Yeah. Why? I'll tell you why. Well, what happened is, well, we're taught in school that Benjamin Franklin discovered electricity using a kite and a ring in an electrical storm. Really? Okay, no. But, fine. Maybe let's just give it that what it is. And let's just pretend electricity was totally invented right then.
Yeah.
And that no one, through all these thousands of years, ever figured out that you can run magnetic current through a wire. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, look at all these old buildings from centuries ago. Yeah, those are not even chapels, they're power stations, machines. And then, that's another rabbit hole. But, sticking to this, the first case of the flu is 1882.
I've heard of it. Hold on, I don't mean to second.
Yeah, Tartaria.
Yeah, okay, we'll get to that later.
Oh, it's the best part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's the good news at the end of the rabbit hole. Yeah, it's great, because it's what we all are. Yeah, it's what we all truly are. Yeah, it's a deleted civilization from our history books for a reason, because all the people who are controlling our textbooks are the people who made billions of dollars from the oil industry, the Rockefellers. So the Rockefellers put power lines of all this inverted dirty electricity coming off oil that runs at a frequency that is not in agreement with the earth or the human body. So, for the same reason you would stick a fork into an electrical socket and it would shock you. For the same reason it would shock you if you stick a fork into an electrical socket.
Yeah.
Well, in 1882, the Rockefellers and all them, they were like, well, we can sell people and put a meter on energy and sell it to people. And so that's when they started putting power lines everywhere. Whereas before this, power lines were never necessary. And that you can see today, we have wireless phones.
Yeah.
You know, these are, that was the materialist energy. And it was not in agreement with the human body. It's why it hurts. It's why it's dangerous. You have to have a specialist to look at it. Okay, so in all the congruent cities where you had all these power lines, the flu epidemic broke out. And everybody caught the flu from each other. And then virology made its ascendance. And then Louis Pasteur's germ theory, so on and so forth. Every single time that a new microscope was invented, from the invention of the light microscope, the definition of a virus changes. Electron microscope, the definition of a virus changes. What it is today, and I'll just speedball this to you. They isolate a virus. Now, first I was like, oh, the SARS-CoV-2 virus is fake. No, I found it was for every virus ever. Like, as a cause of disease, there's no such thing as a virus. Just like there's no such thing as a unicorn. At least, until I see one. Until we can go pet one, I guess.
Right.
But then we got to question whether it's, I don't know, whatever. I'm not going to see a unicorn, probably. And if I do, I'll correct my statement about unicorns. But I am not going to correct my statement about viruses. Those are not real. And so, what happened? all these papers that people find to be like, oh, this is too boring to read. It's like, well, what did I say to you earlier? Something like Vero CL something 081, whatever. It doesn't even matter the number at this point, because this is how they're isolating the virus. They take a petri dish. These are well-paid lab coats, and these people are invested. They have to, you know, etiquette of the banker, said in 1773. First rule of business, protect your investment. Now you gotta look at people's years of life lived. The people performing these experiments have their investment in, oh, what do? They invested tons of money in student loans into getting a degree for 8 to 10 years. So with that, first rule of business, protect your investment. Now you're wearing a lab coat, protect your investment, get your paycheck. Now these people, okay, they're no different than us. They're not gods, okay? But they're running around in a laboratory with petri dishes. And so they know how to get the scientific curriculum, and they know how to say all these fancy words, but really, here's all they're doing. They're extracting a human cell, which is observable under a microscope, a human cell from, and they're putting it into a petri dish. The human cell is sourced from a sick patient. Let's say they take 12 sick patients. Why not? And then they put human cell in the petri dish. Now, to keep the human cell alive within the human host, you have to keep that human cell alive with something called bovine fetus serum. Do you know what bovine fetus serum is? Right. Like, average people are like, what is this? Okay, bovine means cow. Fetus? You know, like, it's growing, it's gestating in a womb, right? Bovine, so we're looking at a cow fetus. And serum, I guess the best way to explain it is like a base or like a opposite of a poison.
Uh-huh.
Serum would be like, in Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake uses serum to heal himself from snake venom.
Okay.
That's a perfect...
Yeah.
I mean, that you know, those games are great, but, you know, you use serum to heal venom poisoning.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it levels it out. So what that does is it keeps the human cell alive for a certain amount of time, and then they create something called the cytopathic effect. The cytopathic effect, they mix it in with the Vero, CO whatever, the monkey kidney cells, and then they take human liver cancer cells and mix it in. They poison the thing inside of a dish, shove it in and out of incubators. Sometimes they'll maybe they'll color it, whatever, but then they just take a picture of it. And then they say, look, we isolated the virus. Oh. And then they insist it, and then they just assault people with fact-checker websites that say, no, we did. And then they give you people who are fighting even in the medical freedom movement, like people like Richard Fleming and Steve Kirsch, who I write about in The Formula, which is an article I wrote on Proxy Earth. And they want to go, no, yeah, the virus is real, and it definitely leaked from the lab. It's like, these are controlled opposition characters from the establishment who are trying to keep people from going too far into realizing that this is spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
This whole thing we're in is a war of frequency.
That's insane. I'm gonna pause you here.
No, that's a perfect place to stop.
Yeah, that is...
That's a perfect place to stop.
Yep.